next week, we're going to be having another presidential election. Is it going to be Hillary versus Rudy? I hope not. Will it be, I don't know, Kucinich versus Thompson? I hope not, though Dennis Kucinich should be a good president. Will it be Edwards versus Vermin? I don't know. But that's a year from now, and I think we better tighten our belts and get ready. Because there's change in the air, and maybe the Bush administration is going to panic and go in another direction. This is the weekly news and review from killradio.org and the harpers.org website. This was posted Tuesday, November 6th, 2007 by Miriam Markowitz on the Harper's Web. I'm Bennett, your faithless host, and this, of course, regards the news of the past post-Halloween week. Friday marked Mexico's Day of the Dead, which was celebrated as hundreds of thousands of people attempted to flee the flooded state of Tabasco by boat, helicopter, jet ski, tractor, or by swimming through murky, snake-infested currents. Meanwhile, the town of Orne, Tennessee, which has suffered from a prolonged drought, announced that it had run out of fresh water. And there's a lot of pestilence in that dirty water. Former FEMA director Michael D. Brownie, who now works for a disaster recovery company, was made available for comment regarding the wildfires raging in California. Wonder what he said. And the 10-year-old boy who started a fire that spanned 60 square miles and destroyed 21 homes near Santa Clarita was declared by a neighbor to be, to the best of the neighbor's knowledge, a good kid. I guess his parents live in a trailer on a horse ranch up there. A professor of clinical psychiatry suggested that 60% of boys between kindergarten and fourth grade have experimented with matches. I know I used to love to start fires, though they never got out of control. Fire play is a common and absolutely normal part of human development, said the professor. The U.S. Navy pursued and seized a North Korean tanker hijacked by pirates off the coast of Somalia. 300 American diplomats protested the possibility of involuntary transfer to the Green Zone, and Sunni leaders in Anbar province lobbied the United States for billions of dollars as a reward for joining the fight against Al-Qaeda. Hey, it's America. We're rich. The Americans are rich, so just get money. Because the only thing it's about, really, is money. In a speech publicizing October's record low of civilian deaths, President George W. Bush, commenting on sectarian violence, made his disappointments clear to the Iraqi leadership. He's disappointed because the civilian deaths are lowered because they've killed what they want to kill, who they want to kill. The Venezuelan National Assembly overwhelmingly approved constitutional reforms that would greatly expand the power of President Hugo Chavez and permit him to run repeatedly for re-election. Is Mr. Bush learning from Mr. Chavez? In Lahore, Pakistan, police armed with clubs and tear gas attacked the thousands of lawyers protesting General Prevet Musharraf's imposition of martial law. He also suspended the Constitution. 60 Minutes aired an interview with Nicolas Sarkozy that was cut short by the French president after he was asked to discuss his wife. Bon courage, said Sarkozy, and declared the interview over. That's what Clinton should have done all those years ago. Rudy Giuliani conceded that although his campaign statistics for prostate cancer survival rates in Britain was 7 years old and 30 points off, Americans should still be wary of socialized medicine. If we ever got Hillary care in this country, said Giuliani, Canadians will have nowhere to go for health care. Now, that's just bullshit. Late President Gerald Ford was reported to have ascribed unlimited ambition to Hillary Clinton in a 2000 interview. The Republicans will make a mistake if they think she's going to be a pushover, said Ford, although he didn't think the country was ready for a lady president. Clinton told reporters that the other Democratic candidates for the presidential nomination were not targeting her because she was a woman, but because she was winning. And Mitt Romney launched an ad impugning her leadership experience. The idea that she could learn to be president as an internship, said scumbag Romney, just doesn't make any sense. Hollywood screenwriters went on strike. I'm really scared, said Oren Ashkenazi, a dry cleaner who caters to Warner Brothers. 14 children were rescued from a New Delhi sweatshop that was subcontracted by The Gap. Self-proclaimed real-life superheroes such as Red Justice and Direction Man gathered for an anonymous meeting in Times Square. I don't have many friends, explained the super, who fixes faucets in a cape. Dwayne the Dog Chapman's cable show, Dog the Bounty Hunter, was suspended indefinitely after a tape surfaced in which Chapman used a racial slur to describe his son's girlfriend. It's not because she's black, said Chapman. It's because we use the word nigger sometimes here. I'm not going to take a chance ever in life of losing everything I've worked for 30 years because some fucking nigger heard us say nigger and turned us into the Inquirer magazine. Chapman's son subsequently sold the tape of the conversation to the National Enquirer. Rapper Jay-Z was flashing euros in a recent video, and supermodel Gisele Bündchen was refusing to accept payment in dollars. The New York Times Style section published a feature on the rise of the term VJJ to describe female genitalia. The reason that vajayjay has caught on, I think, is because there is a black, southern especially, naming tradition which is to have names like Ray Ray and Boo Boo and things like that, said John H. McWhorter, a linguist at the Manhattan Institute. It sounds warm and familiar, and it almost makes the vagina feel like a little cartoon character with eyes that walk around. In Johannesburg, a contestant on the reality TV show Big Brother Africa was caught on camera digitally penetrating an unconscious female housemate, and then, after heeding the pleas of another female contestant to desist, sitting alone sniffing his fingers. The contestant explained his behavior by telling his fellow housemates, "Well, this is Africa." British police documents revealed that the DNA of suspects accused of crimes such as picking wildflowers or defacing coins will be stored for life in a national database. Alexander Feklasov, the Soviet spy handler of Julius and Ethel Rosenberg, died at 93, as did Washo, the signing chimp, at 42. And Paul Warfield Tibbetts Jr., the pilot of the Enola Gay, at 92. Tibbetts remained unapologetic about his role in the 66,000 deaths and 69,000 injuries wrought by the atomic blast at Hiroshima. "I never," he once said, "lost a night's sleep over it." Yeah, that's the greatest generation. The ones who don't seem to care how many civilians they killed. Just in case you don't know, the Japanese were trying to figure out a way to surrender without losing face. And then Hiroshima and Nagasaki were bombed. And even though those were the only two atomic bombs that the U.S. had, they felt threatened that maybe there'd be one on Tokyo, and they couldn't take the chance, so they surrendered. It is possible that if there had been an actual on-land invasion of Japan, the United States may have lost another 100,000 dead or something. It's possible. But as it was, old people, women, and children were the victims of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. It did end the war. I guess that's all that matters, right? This has been the Weekly News in Review. Thanks for listening. You're listening to Kill Radio, of course. And that's enough for now.